This is bookcareers.com live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of bookcareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 22 of bookcareers.com live. I've been asking around for topics you'd like me to cover in a podcast episode, and so far the most requested topic is along the lines of how to manage your boss, with comments such as what to do when your manager has been made a manager and shouldn't have been, or what to do when your manager can't really manage a team, or what to do when your manager takes credit for your work because they're afraid for their own job, or what to do when your manager pretends the team is lazy and useless when in fact it is the manager who is lazy and useless, or what to do when your manager takes things personally or makes things personal, or what to do when your manager actively tries to break down team relationships and foster a negative division in the team. And those are just for starters. To some of you, this might sound a bit like the film Working Girl, where Sigourney Weaver, the boss, tries to take credit for the secretary's, Melanie Griffith's, ideas. It all plays down in a showdown where the world is put to rights. But unfortunately, in the real-life world of work, this doesn't always happen. It's a well-known fact that people often get promoted above their level of competence, so much so there is a principle named for this very point, the Peter Principle. The concept of the Peter Principle is based on people being promoted through companies because of their previous success in a job. But because they were previously successful at a lower level, it doesn't mean that they will instantly have the skills and competencies to succeed at a higher level. Obviously, we'd like everyone who is a manager to attend the fantastic People Management Skills course at the Publishing Training Centre, which is led by Claire Griss-Taylor and Nancy Roberts. But we know that this isn't always possible. So short of pushing the course prospectus under your boss's nose, or the nose of their boss, here are some words of advice to navigate your boss. In simple terms, how to manage your boss. The first thing you need to decide is whether this is a situation worth resolving. It's what one of my former bosses once said to me, choose your battles wisely. If you're going to leave, regardless of the management situation, is it worth causing any potential angst or upset if you plan to be out of the job just as soon as another publisher says to you, you're hired? So ensure that you intend to stay in the job if the management situation can be resolved. Obviously, if you're working for a very small publisher and the manager causing the problems is the owner of the business too, that might give you an indication of whether the battle is worth fighting. Secondly, when this manager asks you to do something where they might usually undermine your work or change their mind, or, as sometimes happens when they want to divide the team, have asked you to do something which is an essential part of someone else's role, at every opportunity, confirm and clarify things in writing, usually by email. Do this even if the instruction was verbal. Create an email trail so it becomes much harder for the manager to backtrack and deny. Examples of confirming and clarification are as follows. When you are asked to do a task, any task, you reply via email. Just to confirm, I'm going to write to all the authors and let them know that our publication dates are moving. When you're asked to do a task of low value first over something of a much higher value of priority, Just to confirm, as I understand it, you want me to update the monthly mailing list first and before I work on the sales conference presentation, which is due tomorrow. Please correct me if this is wrong. Or, just to confirm, you've asked me to contact Amazon, which usually falls under my colleague's remit. Have you told them I will be contacting Amazon over this, or will you update them? Thirdly, when your manager can't seem to manage the team, or in football terms, they lose the dressing room, then it's time for you as a team to collaborate and almost appoint an intermediary and invisible team leader amongst yourselves, so that when the division happens, where you might be pitted against one another, whoever you've nominated amongst yourselves as a team leader tries to nip situations in the bud without the knowledge or involvement of the manager. So this could be the manager who always likes to give the metadata tasks to the person who doesn't deal with metadata because it always seems to get done. Yet if you as the team leader spoke to the person who was always sent the metadata tasks and explained that they could easily forward them on to the appropriate person to action, I'm sure this would make everyone's life easier. Then, when the manager asks how the metadata tasks are progressing, the person can gauge whether to say they've been actioned or I forward them to the said colleague. The same can happen with list building, where several editors are competing against each other to commission a certain number of books before a year end. Some of this kind of rivalry can be healthy. In the same way as when I was a sales rep, the sales manager used to circulate our respective video sales figures to each other. It became a healthy competition between me and my colleague in the Midlands as to who could sell the most railway videos in a month. I was coming in second, but it didn't take long for me to up my game and regularly come in on top. That's healthy. But when competition between colleagues is used to humiliate or undermine each other, that is not healthy. This is where, again, you need to nominate your own team leader and talk to each other, not your manager, and see if there is some common ground where you can prevent the situation of divisive behaviour. I can hear you commenting, but I don't get on with my colleagues either. If that is the case, then maybe it is the time for you to move on. Though usually, if there is an incompetent manager, team members find common ground on their dislike of the manager, and often it brings a team far closer together than any paintballing team experience. This brings us on to the lazy and useless manager who often takes credit for the work that others do. Again, a paper trail is the best way of combating this. That when you do good work, you email your successes. You can find a variety of ways to do this. It might be in the form of an email to your boss and their boss, or whether you collectively, with or without your boss's permission, start up a weekly or monthly newsletter from the department to other bosses throughout the business, letting them know what you're all up to. Or, as with in some sales teams, you have a physical whiteboard in the office that is updated regularly, but then usually sales figures speak for themselves. If your boss is lazy and always causing you to miss deadlines, such as not having approved things like jacket copy when they should have, then an email trail with regular chasers is your best way of combating this. So that if the situation becomes untenable and you're given the blame for things that are truly not your fault, you have the evidence to present at any meeting. I think I've used several case histories in the making of this episode, and I hope I've given you some food for thought. Have you got a difficult management situation that I haven't covered? Let me know and I'll aim to discuss it in a further episode. Judging by the emails I've already received on this topic, I think this topic might run on for some time. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers or on Twitter at BookCareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.